Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 15. Gospel of Matthew chapter number 15, and we'll start reading with verse number 22 and read down through verse number 28 to get started. Anybody in a real big hurry this morning? All right. Praise God. I'm the only one hungry? You know me well enough to know I'm going to be sensitive to your time. But I always like to make a bargain. And for being sensitive to your time, to your attention, and to things that you've got to do, I just ask you to be sensitive to the Lord. If God begins to move in this service and people begin to get help, we can just postpone our plans or slip out quietly, whatever we need to do. But let the Lord have His way. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But I want you to notice this phrase. He answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask the Lord to touch us here in this place tonight? Father, I pray right now that you would captivate our hearts and minds here for a few moments. Drive out every hindering spirit. Bind that wicked fowl of the air that would steal your word from our hearts before it has a chance to take root and grow. Bind in Jesus' name. God, let faith rise up in our hearts to grab your attention this morning in Jesus' name. God, give us notable miracles in lives in this very first service of revival. In Jesus' name, we ask it, and everybody can say, Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you from this passage on grabbing God's attention. Grabbing God's attention. Let me start with a question this morning. Is there anyone here with needs in your life that if those needs were met this morning, it could only be classified as a miracle? Let me see your hand. Needs in your life. Thank you. Now, I've got needs in my life. I mean, I need to pay my bills next month. And you do too. Right? And it is a miracle of provision. But God has given us the ability to work. And to budget. Well, He's given some of us the ability to work and to budget. Some to work, some to budget. Some to do both. That's a real blessing. And so our needs are met through God's provision and our diligence. Right? I need somebody to mow my grass. Do you? Probably going to be one of us, isn't it? God providing that need by getting out there on a lawnmower and putting gas in and sweating. Thank God you got a lawnmower. Thank God you got gas. Thank God you got a yard. Thank God you got a house. But there are needs that are out of our control. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning already. There are needs that are out of our control. And if those needs were met this morning, you could say, not me. I didn't have anything to do with that. There was nothing for me to do. That is a miracle. Amen. Now, what I want you to do this morning, out of all that, all the list maybe of things that qualify in that perspective, all the things in your life, and you may have pages of them, that if God moved on it this morning, you would testify, God did a miracle for me. I want you to focus on one of those things right now. I want you to get it in the center of your mind. I want you to focus your attention, each one here. It may be a family member that's lost and needs God to deal with them again. It may be a job situation, a job that's fixing to evaporate and you don't know what you're going to do financially. It may be a marriage situation that is just boiling under the surface and it's about to explode. It may be a relationship issue in a family. It may be an emotional issue in your mind. It may be a sin problem, an addiction that you are fighting that you would like to have deliverance for. And the needs go on and on and on. There's no way I could take time to name. I could name for 20 minutes and maybe not get yours. But everyone here, I want you to get it in your mind. You've got a need that if it was met this morning, you would say, God has done a miracle, a notable miracle for me this morning. I want you to get that need in your mind right now. You got it? You got that? Now I'm not asking you to classify your needs. You know, I really want Odie to be healed. But you know, if there is something else in my mind that you know, a brother that needs to be saved or a physical ailment, I don't want to feel guilty about not asking for Odie right now. Okay? Y'all with me here? I'm not asking you to prioritize those needs, just the one need that seems pressing to you right now. I want everybody got it? Let me see your hands again. Everybody got that need in your mind? Okay, thank you. I want you to keep your mind on that as we go through here. I want you to fix your mind on that one thing that would qualify as a bona fide miracle, as a bona fide act of God. And I would like for each person here tonight to say concerning that one special focused need in your life right now this morning, God, I need your attention. God, I need your attention. I need you, oh God, to move in this need in my life. I believe that we can at Bethany Revival Center on June 14th, the second Sunday of 2015, I believe we can grab God's attention. I said, I believe this morning we are going to grab God's attention. Now, I mean no disrespect with that. No, sir. In fact, I mean this in a very biblical sense. The Bible instructs us, Brother Jimmy, that we are allowed to grab God's attention. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. For what purpose? To what end? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Boldly grab God's attention for the help we need in our lives. Obtain mercy. Boldly let God know your needs. Boldly find grace to help. Boldly ask God to move in your situation. Boldly ask God for a notable miracle in your life this morning. We're instructed to do that. And in fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now that's, wow. I just got one word for that. Wow. Maybe double wow. Okay? the works that I do shall he do also. And gets better than that, bigger than that, greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And here's the key. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. I wondered this morning if we really understand what this means. Jesus is giving us permission to use his name to grab God's attention. Now, the use of the name of Jesus is not a magic formula. It is not an incantation that we can repeat over and over and over. It's not a magic prayer. It is the privilege we have been given to go to the Father just like the Son would go to the Father. You've heard the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Several years ago, I got a phone call. I don't know if any of you, some of you may, and you've heard me talk about them. The Mitch Boggs family over on the other side of Joplin, Missouri, they're no direct close kin to us, but they do come from the same couple counties back in eastern Kentucky that my family migrated from. But that connection is at least 125, 130 years back. So if they're kin, it's distant kin, but it's a great family. Brother Mitch has 9 children. And 8 of them are married now, and there's a bunch of grandchildren and some great-grandchildren. And at this time, only 4 of those 9 were married, and they only had about 20 or 25 grandchildren among those 4 that were married. And they were out on a vacation, and they had been to Amish country in Ohio, and they called me and they said, "Hey, we're in Ohio, and we would love to meet your mom and dad." They knew that I wasn't home, Brother Charles, but they wanted to meet my mom and dad. And I said, "Well, yeah, sure. When would you like to go?" And they said, "Well, we're about 2 hours away." Now there's 20, 25 grandkids. There's 4 kids that are married. That's 8 with in-laws. There's 5 more kids. And there's mom and dad. Okay, so they got a bus full. Maybe 2 bus fulls, okay? And so I called up my dad. I said, "Hey, Dad, you remember the Mitch Boggs family I told you about out in Missouri?" "Oh, yeah, yeah." "I'd love to meet them sometime." "Good. Right answer. Yeah. They'd like to meet you, Dad, and they're in Ohio. In fact, they're up in Amish country or been to Amish country." "Well, when would they like to come by?" "Well, they're actually on their way. They're about 2 hours away." I said, "Dad, could you take care of my friends?" He said, "It's done." He got on the phone, he called my brothers, my sister, and they pulled together a picnic lunch of hamburgers, hot dogs, they even had some shrimp on hand that they cooked on the grill, and the chips and the drinks, and I mean, just a meal fit for about 35 kings, praise God, royalty. And when they pulled up in that bus, they got out and were entertained and fed and treated with kindness by people they did not know. Y'all got me here? Now, what's the chances of a busload of 35 people pulling up in front of your house, climbing out of there and saying, "What's for lunch?" And you being prepared for them, or even wanting to be prepared for them? Chances are very slim. Now, we are all Christians, and so we would try to be hospitable, but in the back of our mind, we're like, "What are these people after? You know, are they going to pick my house up and carry it away? You know, what's going on here?" And we might just refuse them because we don't know them. We're not familiar. And my parents, my dad could have done the same thing, but my dad received them as he would receive me. My dad treated them with the same kindness. In fact, they've prepared those picnics and barbecues and cookouts a whole lot for us when we're home. They did it for them just like they would do it for their son. I come to preach to you, my friend. You can go to God in every other name and God doesn't even have to hear you. But we have the privilege to go to God the Father in the name of His Son. He will treat us just like He will treat His Son. He will receive our requests just like He will receive His. Y'all got that? In the name of Jesus. You can grab God's attention because you have the same access as His Son. You have that special need in your mind? You got it close to you? How do you grab God's attention for that? Well, let's see how the woman in our text did it. Jesus said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And I've preached about this woman's great faith here and hundreds probably of other places. And I will keep preaching about her great faith. Her great faith grabbed God's attention. But what did she do that demonstrated her faith? And the first thing we see is she prayed. She cried unto Him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This woman prayed. Any chance of grabbing God's attention at all begins with personal prayer. Lord, have mercy on me. Are you experiencing personal prayer? Are you practicing personal prayer? Is there anybody here that needs God's attention? And are you willing to grab it in personal prayer? God, I need help. The old song back in the mountains said, It's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the preacher or the singer, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Lord, I need your help. God, help me. But prayer cannot stop there. It cannot stop with personal prayer. It must begin with personal prayer, but it must also be intercessory prayer. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Lord, help me. God, I need your help. I need your favor. But oh God, there's other people that need your favor too. My daughter is vexed with a devil. My daughter needs help. My family needs help. My church needs help. And Lord, you are our only hope. Listen, church, we must get back to serious prayer if we are ever going to grab God's attention. We talk much of prayer. We sing much of prayer. We preach much of prayer. But we must be devoted to prayer. Prayer grabs God's attention. Praise God. Several years ago, back in the build-up to the first Gulf War, we were just a couple of weeks from Desert Shield beginning in the first Iraq war, and I know many of you were not alive then or were not concerned about things like that. Maybe you were so young, but many of you remember the first Gulf War. Saddam Hussein invaded, conquered Kuwait. We began to build troops in the summer of 1990. And January the 16th of 1991, we began to bomb Iraq. Desert Shield began. We bombed. We did all these things for, I don't know, 30, 45 days. And then Desert Storm began. And in 100 hours, they completely liberated the country of Kuwait and turned it back to the people. But in December of 1990, we were home. We were evangelizing. And we were home for Christmas. And our church has a Wednesday morning prayer meeting. And it's not well attended, but it's faithfully attended. And so when I'm home, and oftentimes, especially when we lived really close and when I wasn't working, I would often go to Wednesday morning prayer meeting. We would take prayer requests and then we'd just find us a place to pray for 45 minutes or so. And, And I just happened to get down over here and pray somewhere right across the aisle from the other section of pews from where my pastor's wife was praying. Now, most of you don't know my pastor just from stories I've told here, Brother Sutherland. And I've probably said even less about his wife, Sister Jane Sutherland. She's not an upfront person. She's not a loud person. She's a very quiet person, very shy person. But she is a person that knows how to pray. We were having prayer and we'd prayed quite a while. And then, has this ever happened to you? Her prayer caught my attention. And I caught myself listening to her pray. And I felt kind of like, I don't know if anybody's ever read the book. It's an old book called The Kneeling Christian. And in that book, the author said he had an opportunity to pray with a man years ago named Praying John Hyde. You don't get a name, you don't name yourself Praying John, okay? That's a name that others give you because he prayed. And he had an opportunity to pray, to spend a night in prayer with Praying John Hyde. Now, spending a night in prayer, that seems almost just foreign to us, doesn't it? I mean, we talk about spending an hour in prayer and our mind starts wondering just talking about it. Right? A night in prayer with Praying John Hyde. They went into a room, they shut the door, they prayed in the darkness. And this man said that Praying John Hyde seemingly prayed God's presence right down into that room. This author said, I was afraid to stretch forth my hand into the dark, lest I touch God. Now that's bringing God down close, isn't it? Another man's prayers bringing the presence of God down into the place that you're afraid to reach out, afraid that you would touch God and be struck dead. That's what I thought of that Wednesday morning prayer meeting as Sister Sutherland prayed. She was praying for our 500,000 troops that were gathering in Saudi Arabia, preparing at any moment to invade at the risk of their lives. 500,000. At that time, the Iraqi Republican Guard was a vaunted and feared force. And we really didn't know what would happen when we went up against them. They had slaughtered thousands and hundreds of thousands in the 8 years previous in the war with Iraq and their neighbors, and they were a very efficient fighting force. But my pastor's wife seemed like she brought God right down into that Wednesday morning prayer service, and I was afraid to stretch out my hand, Brother John, because I thought God is just that close listening to this prayer. When we finally invaded Iraq, there were 300,000 Iraqi soldiers, Republican Guard soldiers killed. 300,000. 200,000 wounded. You know how many Americans were killed in battle in that 100 hours? 146. Now, I'm not rejoicing, you know, I'm not rejoicing over people dying. I'm just telling you, she was praying for our soldiers. She was praying for our boys and our girls, your cousins, my cousins, our neighbors. And I believe God heard that prayer. I'm talking about becoming people of prayer. Lord, help me. I want to tell you, if we get anything out of this revival, I would to God that we would get a brand new stirring. I'm going to be a man of prayer. I'm going to be a woman of prayer. Anybody here with me? You remember that special need? If we're going to have a miracle in that need, we must begin to pray. Grab God's attention through prayer. This mother in our text prayed like that. And I stress this in reading the text. He answered her not a word. Oh my. She pours out her heart in prayer. And what was the response of Jesus? Not a word. Now, God, you're not going to do that to me. And who's going to stop him? You going to ask headquarters about that? You going to file a complaint with a Better Business Bureau? You going to quit church? You just going to go back into sin? That's what I'll do. I'll just go back and serve the devil. Really? He helped you that much more? Y'all with me here? I mean, our options are pretty limited. If we pour our heart out in prayer and God answers us not a word, what are we going to do? Her prayer seems completely ignored. But she doesn't stop there. She not only prayed, she kept praying. Now, I haven't heard much about this, but about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, the Word of Faith movement, they were really big on just praying one time. You remember that, Brother Charles? Just praying one time. If you pray any more than once, you don't have faith. Well, they need to go read the New Testament. For Jesus himself prayed over a blind man and said, now, what do you see? I see men as trees walking. Let's pray again. And he prayed again. Now, what do you see? I see all men clearly. Praise God. There's something about praying that must be continued. This woman not only prayed, she was persistent. She grabbed God's attention and she would not let go. Praise God. He answered her not a word, and his disciples, this is the same verse, he said nothing to her, he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away. Get rid of this woman. Heal her? Kill her? We don't care. Get rid of this woman. Why? What's the bother? She crieth after us. She won't quit asking. She won't stop praying. This woman is bugging the life out of us because she will not quit. You know, Jesus gave us an example of this. You remember that woman that had a need and need to be avenged, and she went to the unjust judge? Now, that's terrible to be a judge and have power and be unjust. But Jesus is demonstrating the absurdity of this in this parable. He was an unjust judge. He had no right to be in that position, but he was in the position. And this woman came and besought him with a very reasonable, fair request. And he said, forget it. I won't do it. Not interrupt. But it's right. I don't care. And Jesus said she would not stop. She wearied him with her request. Oh, I love that. She wearied him with her request until this unjust judge, who cared nothing about her need, gave her her request just to get rid of her. But I want to tell you, we serve a God that is not unjust. He is not weary with you. He does not hate you. He loves you. And if you persist in prayer, he will hear you. I said he will hear you, and he will grant your petition when you grab his attention with persistence. She grabbed his attention. She was so persistent, she would not give up. She kept on praying, being persistent in prayer. Two older preachers, Brother Ralph Cox and Brother Glenn Brashear, both gone on to the reward now, pastoring in Tulsa. I won't mention the church that Brother Glenn was pastoring. You probably already know, Brother Jimmy. And he's having church trouble. And just having, you know, just church trouble. People trouble. You know, people are people everywhere, right? And he got in a car with Brother Ralph. It was going to a meeting. Brother Ralph was driving. And Brother Glenn said, Brother Ralph, you got to tell me what to do. And don't tell me to pray. I prayed until I can't pray anymore. You just have to know, Brother Glenn. He was a jokester, but he was serious about that. Don't tell. I need something tangible to do. And Brother Ralph, he was a little jokester and almost a smart aleck himself sometimes. And he's just driving down the road. He listens to all this, and he doesn't even look at Brother Glenn. What'd I do, Ralph? He said, pray again. Brother Ralph never opened his mouth all the way when he talked. Pray again. Praise God. Don't tell me to pray again. And you know what he did? He prayed again. God gave him the victory. Pray again. I come to preach to somebody this morning. Pray again. Praise God. I said, pray again. You say, I pray till I'm blue in the face. Pray again. Be persistent in prayer. Lord, I need you. So I'm going to pray again. She would not stop. She would not hush. She would not quit. Though he ignored her, she prayed anyway. Though when he did speak, he didn't speak to her. He spoke to his disciples. She prayed anyway. She would not hush until she was heard by the Lord. I want somebody to grab a hold of that right there. She would not hush until she was heard by the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here talking to us. She would not stop. Yet even in her persistence, he did not answer her. So when her prayer was unanswered and her persistence was not acknowledged, verse 25 said, then came she and worshiped him. She prayed. She persisted. And when nothing else seemed to work, she praised. Oh, Holy Ghost, help us. When nothing else seemed to work, she didn't drop back and punt and give over to the other side. She said, okay, you forced me into it. You're still wonderful. You're still God. You're still the Messiah. Man, I wish I could preach to you here. David, you don't understand. God's not hearing me. You don't understand. I've been praying and God just seemed like he's ignoring me. Well, I'll tell you, you're just going to have to resort to your final tool in your arsenal. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for doing whatever I need in spite of the fact that I don't know what I need. Praise you anyway, Lord. If you pray and you're persistent and you still don't have an answer, stop and praise him. Grabbing God's attention through prayer is proper. Grabbing God's attention through persistence is proper. But grabbing God's attention through praise might have to be your priority. When you seem like you've been ignored, worship him. When you feel left out, worship him. When he seems far away, worship him. When he seems uninterested, worship him. Has God ever done anything for you? Has he ever answered any prayers in the past? Praise him. I said praise him. Praise him for the past. Praise him for the present. Praise him for the promises of the future. You want to grab God's attention? Then praise God when the devil and your circumstances say he doesn't deserve it. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Sis, did you ever get up in the morning and fix breakfast for your husband? And the last thing he said to you the night before was grouchy? Did you ever prepare supper for him and have it on the table with a smile when he got home? When the last thing you heard from him that morning was a growl? Did he deserve it? There's an argument to be made that he did go to work. Even though he was grouchy, he probably growled at everybody else too. But I mean, on the surface, did he deserve it? No. But you did it anyway. Oh, somebody get with me here. What about it, sir? What about it, brother? You bought that candy bar for your kids. You took them on a treat. You took them to the zoo. You took them to Brahms for an ice cream. Sometimes you did it as a reward. Sometimes you did it as hope. Maybe this will help.
in our own human relations. Brother Jimmy, sometimes we extend favor where it doesn't make sense.
Well, I could ask Brother John and Sister Judy, have you ever went and picked up somebody for church or sent somebody after them for church when you almost knew it was not going to be profitable? I'm not talking about financially. You knew they were going back to drugs if they didn't get deliverance. You knew when you bought them that motel room that night that there's a good chance they were just taking advantage of you. But you extended favor on credit to other humans who are prone to let us down. And we have a God that has never and will never let us down. But He has disappointed you in not answering your prayer and not responding to your persistence. I say we grant Him favor. We give Him worship. Even when the devil said He's a deadbeat. Even when the devil says He doesn't love you. Even when the devil points out all the things he could have done, I say praise Him anyway. God, You are worthy of my praise. Even when You are not answering my prayer, God, You are worthy of my praise. Even in the midst of cancer, You are worthy of my praise. In the midst of turmoil, You are worthy of my praise. When my life is in disarray, You are worthy of my praise. Even when I'm addicted yet in my sin, You are worthy of my praise. Even when I do not understand You, God, You are worthy of my praise. When my life is falling apart. This mother worshiped Him. Truth, Lord. I'm not worthy. I don't deserve anything from You. You're right. I'm a dog. Truth, Lord. I'm as low as a dog. Truth, Lord. I'm not worthy. Truth, Lord. But I'm willing to take crumbs. Truth, Lord, I'm willing to take leftovers. Truth, Lord, but please help me anyway. She praised, and when her praising was complete, she prayed again. Then Jesus said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Anyone here willing to praise Him? I said, is there anyone here willing to praise Him? I said, is there anyone here willing to praise Him? Is He worthy? I said, is He worthy of your praise? Listen, is He worthy of your praise? Don't do it for your neighbor. Don't do it to satisfy me. Do it because you have a specific need focused on in the center of your mind that you need Him to work on. So you're going to praise Him no matter what's going on around you. I'm going to call everybody to the front here in just a moment to bring that focused need, that need that you sealed right there in your mind just a few moments ago. I want you to bring that need in a moment to the front with you. Bring that need to the altar. We're going to make a line. We might take two lines, might take three lines, but we're just going to line up across the front, bringing those needs. But this is not a prayer line. Y'all with me this morning? I'm not making a prayer line this morning. I'm making a praise line. Okay? Maybe we've never done this before, all right? But we're going to make a praise line. I want you to ignore that need for just a moment, a few moments, and I want you to praise Him for a while. I want you to worship God without the answer. I want you to worship God without the miracle. I want you to worship God in spite of the fact that nothing has changed. And after we worship God for a while, then we will ask again. And God is going to give us some notable miracles in this place. I believe God is going to give us some notable miracles in your lives if we will come and focus first on praise. We will focus first on worship. I'm asking you to come. Bring that special need from the wall all the way across the front here. You can make a line behind the altar and another one behind there if it takes it. Bring that special need. I'd like to see a 100% response of everybody that's physically able. I would love to see everybody responding to the altar. Everybody. 100% response. Bringing that focused need. Listen to me just a moment. 100%. Come on. Bring that need to the front. That need you're focused on. Bring it to the front. Let me give you an example. I want God to heal Odie, Brother Jimmy. I want God, as He healed her eyes last year before we were here, I want God to heal her body, whatever this is. I want Odie to jump off of this platform and run around this building here this morning. But I'm not asking for that right now. I'm praising God that He healed her vision in 2014. That her vision in her blind eye is now 20/25. Praise God. I'm praising Him that when she was born, she did not die like they said she had a chance of doing. I'm praising Him because her hands and her face and her voice is not as involved as her legs are in this CP or whatever it is. I'm praising Him that she has a right mind. I'm praising Him that she's saved. I'm praising Him that she's sanctified. I'm praising Him that she has the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to spend some time praising Him before I ever ask for the miracle. Y'all got it? Right now, let's praise Him. Come on, church. Let's praise Him. Come on. This is the praise line. Let's worship the Lord.
I will sing praises.
He's worthy. Come on, church.
I will sing praises.
Oh, yeah.